All right, good morning, good morning. We've got a good crowd here for summer being over. We'll be here till the end of October, then we'll go over to H's. We'll be in the garden out there till it gets too cold. We'll go inside. I knew the Lord was building that building for something. Be sure send H. Lee a card. He's got some sickness about him. Just send him a card to H. Lee's. It'll get over there. H's. What's the address over there, somebody? Second Avenue and Pam, what's the address, baby? Pam screamed something. I don't know what she said. Send him a card over there. He lets us have this place, and what is it? Said it'll get there. It should be. You would think. You would think. All right, somebody hand me a note. Said the Reverend Billy Graham tells of a time early in his career when he arrived in a small town to preach a sermon. Wanting to mail a letter, he asked a young boy where the post office was. When the boy told him, Dr. Graham thanked him and said, "Now, if you'll come to the Baptist church this evening, you can hear me telling everyone how to get to heaven." "I don't think I'll be there," the boy said. "You don't even know your way to post office." They'll judge you quick and fast now, don't they? Telling you the truth. Oh, boy, we're having a good winter time here. Temperature's down to 90. Be 50-something next week, they said. That'll be interesting to see. Anybody here for the first time? All right, that's good. We're glad you're here. That's good, thank you. Anybody here because somebody made you come? You just had to. Yeah, the one little boy back there. Said, "I don't want to be there." Oh, we have too much fun for a nickel, don't we? We enjoyed you singing, darling. That's wonderful. I ask Larry, "So got my sing this morning?" He said, "No, nobody, you know." Young lady comes up and said, "Somebody brought me down here. I'm supposed to sing." So that's good. She said, "I sing country gospel." And you can tell by her voice, speaking voice. I said, "Whoa, look at him." And so she did a wonderful job. And you got tapes not with you, but we can get them, can't we? All right. And we'll get your address. Don't see me before you leave here, okay? Okay, thank you. All right, of course, thank Pam and H. Lee for letting us be here as always, and the fellas for putting everything up. Bible study at 7 on sure. Bible study doesn't generally get a hand, but Bible study at 7 at the Sleep Inn, Sleep Motel, up toward Wilmington on the left, 1.5 miles. It's easy to find, and you need to find it. We got some new people there, and we need some of you older ones there, and you'll under why the sermon we're going to preach today will encourage you to be there, among other things. Envelopes on the counter. Don't forget our people that we help, just because we don't talk a lot about it. We got envelopes for Bradley and Frankie, and those for little Ben, who's Paul's son, and we got them for the canine thing. And we're going to get a box out when we get to H's and help pay for Bradley's dog. They're training Bradley's dog right now. And he'll go to the door. He'll get his mama for him when he needs him. He'll go to the bathroom and open the door for him. That dog will do everything. And if I'd known about these dogs, well, I better not say that. That's your thinking, not mine. I didn't say nothing. Name on the prayer list, it works. Susie will get you on the prayer list. There's folks who appreciate us praying for them. Get your copy of the church journal if you didn't get one. You still got a few left there. Where's Ann? Okay. And she keeps threatening to leave. I guess she did it. She's got them for you. Now, if you have jobs, part-time, full-time, odd jobs, whatever you need, tell Ann about it. There's several people among us who need work, and they need fill-in work as well as regular work. And if you can tell Ann, she'll put you in contact with them, and you can work out what you need done and your stuff like that. We got a message from my brother Bill's wife. They said, Bill, my brother, was inducted into the Wall of Fame at Houghton College for 30 years service, and all he did, they, at the half of a ball game yesterday, they gave him a plaque and a commendation for doing what he did. They'll never be able to thank you. They will, whatever they gave him this side of the school wasn't enough for what he's done there, I promise you. So we're glad he got that, and he'll be all proud and all because he earned it. Did you get the furniture thing worked out, Mrs. Sloan? We got all that worked out good. Patsy was going to make an announcement about Christmas cards, and she called and asked me about it. The shoeboxes for the children, we're going to do that this year. Patsy handles that, and you either pick boy or girl, doesn't matter, and you just fill up a shoebox full of whatever, little toys, toothbrushes, soap, whatever. These go to kids overseas who have nothing, so whatever you give them, they'll appreciate. And we're starting early, so you can remember to get a shoebox and get it full if you put one thing in at a time between now and Christmas. I told Patsy, when you beat Walmart to starting Christmas, you've started early. And but I'm glad she did. So you be thinking about that, because those little kids, now let's, we're a little bit different around here. We're not regular. Regular, you make an announcement and 20 shoeboxes will show up out of 400 people. That's 380 short. And people say, well, that's a good percentage. I'm not playing baseball. I don't care what your average is. Everybody, get a shoebox and fill it up with something. Okay? No dead animals. Toys, socks. They'll get it to the right person. But you can imagine if you were the only little boy, only little girl at Christmas who didn't get anything. And we forget that sometime. We have so much. We find presents in Easter that we didn't open at Christmas. Amen. All right. Better Homes and Gardens today. Larry always wants a title to put on the tapes. Better Homes and Gardens, Larry. That'll do it. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 8, if you brought your Bible. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 8. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that ye may grow by it. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, yea, also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it's contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore who believe he is precious, but unto them who are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them who stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Shall we pray? A gracious and loving Heavenly Father, come to you in the name of Jesus by the side of the sea, where you preached in a foreign country, but by the side of the sea. We thank you for your goodness, for having people out this morning, some here on purpose, some here on a purpose they don't even know about, sent by you to hear something they should hear that can change their lives. We thank you, Lord, that you send people to us that we need at the time of need. And anything we seem to need equipment-wise, it just shows up. That your care for us is outstanding, and it would be surprising if I didn't know who was doing it.
We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the faithfulness of the people who come here. As always, I ask if you would please remove me from this place that you be heard. That anything I say that should be forgotten, please make it so. And all that should be remembered, please let it be. That the church may be edified. That the backslider may be reclaimed. And that you may save the man nearest hell. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. And for his sake, amen. Amen. We find from this reading of the scriptures, I love Ann dearly, and she'll type these up so prettily, so I can almost look like I know what I'm doing, and she'll say, I don't understand how you get all that out of that. And I said, well, honey, I had 50 years spent in circumstances that you didn't have an advantage to do, and God has helped me greatly there. Sometimes I'm amazed at the things I see there. But you see, the Bible tells you that the Spirit of God will teach you. And you never know what that means until you begin studying it and seeking what He has to say. You won't believe what He will teach you. And it is unreal. And sometimes people say, where did you learn all that? And I said, I didn't. And didn't know. It just comes out when you read the scriptures. And I said, isn't this wonderful? It's kind of like Charlie McCarthy. I'm sitting here as a dummy, and the Lord speaks through you. And I said, isn't that a marvelous thing? And doesn't it show His greatness that He can do it through someone like me? So here we find in verse 4, that Christ is presented as the living stone. That is a unusual title, isn't it? Because stones are dead. But He's presented here as the living stone, a stone that lives forever. And that name was chosen to be there because the building that He is building, the house that He is building, the spiritual house that He is building and putting you in there one at a time, will live forever. It's not like a stone we see in a castle in England that's been there, or in Rome that's been there forever, or the pyramids of Egypt that have been there forever. But even they begin to crack, and they begin to crumble, and they begin to deteriorate. Yet here we're presented with a man who is called a living stone. It's interesting, and I did it this week, went through the Bible looking at the stone, rock, foundation, looking at those words and doing word studies. It's amazing how many times that the stone and the rock are used in Scripture. It'd be good if you'll spend a couple of hours and look at that. And as He came as the living stone and told people, I'm building a house that will last forever, they, of course, thought He was crazy, and most of them rejected Him. Same thing is happening today. I'm signed up to take a course from Jerry Falwell's institution, and we got some materials yesterday, and we were reading it, and one of the questions was, a major denomination in this country had 294,000 professions of faith one year recently. And how many do you think are still in fellowship? 294,000. You'd say, well, at least half. No, 14,000. And the reason they come in and go out and come in and go out, and people do here, but most of our people come regularly and stay. We're a little bit different. Is because the people we get accept Christ as the living stone to a building that's being built, and they want to be part of it. You see, man rejects Christ as the builder and as He who will have a kingdom and He whose will be done regardless of them, because we're just a little hard-headed and want to do things our way. And we say, regardless of what God says, I'm going to do, as the saying is since the 60s, my own thing. No, you won't. You can. It'll kill you, but you can do it if you want to.
And rebellion was the first sin. And rebellion is the leading sin today. Not wanting to follow the rules. All of it comes, as we got our little title, Ann said, well, where are you going to get better homes and gardens out of that? I said, God teaches you how to have a better home. God's spiritual house is a living house, an eternal house, and therefore it must be built correctly. We have some very good builders here. We have fellows sitting here that can take your plans and build you an entire house from scratch. I can't imagine such a thing. And there are people here who just have that kind of talent, and I talk to them and learn from them, and then I watch this building going up two blocks down on the right, that huge hotel that's going up. And if you've noticed, I'm sure you have, because of the traffic alone where they block you off, it took forever to lay the foundation. And I asked these fellas, I said, what's going on? And they say, well, the foundation is the main thing. That if the foundation isn't right, everything else will be wrong. It has to be perfect. It has to be solid. It has to be something you can assure you can put 20 more stories of cement on. I marvel at that, at how firm a foundation, as the church hymn goes, how firm a foundation Christ Jesus is. And why 1 Corinthians tells us that for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So you don't jump upon us when we say, yes, we're the only ones going to heaven, because we are. They say, that's not tolerant. I'm not paid to be tolerant. I'm paid to be truthful. And we sit around and say, well, you isolate yourself. Isolation is a good thing. If you're isolated with the right people and the right teaching, it's not a bad thing. Why should I have to cooperate with the world when they're against me to begin with? I generally agree with Riley on Fox News there. We'll sit and watch. And he's a brilliant individual and a very good debater, and people are intimidated by him. But the other night, he was wrong. Had Rosie O'Donnell on there. They discussed their points of view, which they're welcome to have. But she's going to adopt three children. She's a lesbian. And Bill Riley goes through that, doesn't correct the situation. He's a good Catholic man. He ought to. Excuse me. He's a Catholic man. And should. Didn't. Let it go. Some good Bible-believing Christian wrote in and said, no, 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 that situation should be condemned. And Riley gets back on the next night when I see him and said, no, said it's better for them to be in that home if they can't find another home for them. I said, you need to back up to the Second World War, Bill. That's called the end justifies the means. The means justify the end. No, 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 no. We ain't getting into that. The Bible says, if you lead one of my little ones astray, it would be better for you if you had a millstone around your neck, and that's the big half a ton rock that went around the ox pull to grind the grain. It would be better if you had that hung around your neck and you were cast into the sea than you mislead one of my little ones. Right? Okay. So you put a child in that situation. They may be physically and taken care of and no problem with her problem. The problem is they're going to grow up and believe that lifestyle's okay.
That's right.
Now when you do that, then anything goes. When anything goes, God goes. He'll withdraw from you. If you don't believe it, go to the old country, get down at the bottom of the Dead Sea, down at the southern end, and try to look at the remnants of Sodom and Gomorrah. He will warn you,
withdraw from you, then destroy you. That's the program. He didn't ask if you liked it, if you wanted to vote on it, if it suited everybody. That's the foundation he's built on, and that's the foundation you'll live by. And if you don't build your house on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, look for it to fall.
Amen.
Don't be surprised. Look for it to fall. It's going to fall. You can't stand with a poor foundation. It must have, they laid that cornerstone. I watched them building a church building out here. Oh, they pounded the ground with these machines and got it all hard. And they were forever laying that cornerstone. I said, well, what is so important about that? They said, if that one stone is off, everything's off. Everything's off. That's why the religions, so-called, of the world are off. And they say, why do you think you're right? We think we're right because our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our foundation is the Scripture which He commends. Our foundation is the Bible that the Spirit of God wrote, not a book written by man. And it doesn't matter whether the rest of them like it or not. It has nothing to do with it. That is the foundation. That is the truth. And you will either go by that or go astray in the story. Well, that makes y'all the only ones. Yes, aren't we fortunate? But we'll let you in. So, well, how can that be? I don't know. You didn't get mad at the math teacher when she said you can. This is division. Two will go into two one time, into four twice, into six three times. Now, when you get to one, divided into one, it'll go one time and you can go no further, whole number wise. There are no more whole numbers to go into one but one. I don't care if 578 doesn't like it, if 2,642 is against it, or 1,000,605 are put out by the rule. That's the rule. That's the foundation. And we have so much trouble, and I hear it every week, and it's okay, I can handle it. But I get the troubles of people coming to me. And I get one over SOS, and she's crying and all upset. What's wrong, darling? Well, I just thought that we were going to get married. And I just, you know, dated him, and I sold my house and gave him the money. And then we bought a house, and we've been living in it. And now he's found somebody else, and he's got the house. And I've got me. I'm sorry for your situation, but your foundation was wrong. It's very easy. Find somebody to date. Get accustomed one to another. Get engaged. Get married. Then get in the house. It's not difficult and works so much better if you will do it that way. Why? It's the foundation God laid. I don't make rules. Just try to tell people about them. If you build a strong foundation, you'll have a strong house. I was watching Surfing the Net, how we do, whatever you call it, with the button there, and watching TV, and I noticed big buildings in New York were falling. Not the two big ones. I'm talking about Brooklyn. It looks like a war zone. Deteriorating. Walls falling down on people. Abandoned homes. I mean, they're falling down. These houses weren't built. They were built less than 100 years ago. And then I look at England, and they have roofs that are 200 years old. Roofs that are as old as our country, built on the right foundation of stone, about like that. And then they flash by Stonehenge, and I said, that's the way to build something. I mean, they got two-ton rocks on each side and a two-ton across the top. It'll be there when we're all gone and come back. Why? Foundation was secure, that's why. Now they're building buildings in San Francisco on Teflon pads on big springs. Sounds crazy. Why do they do that? They know they're building on a bad foundation. You're building on earthquake ground. You're building on the San Andreas Fault. It is going to happen. Your Teflon pad and your springs aren't going to help. The ground's going to swallow all that up with the springs and the pads. And they won't believe it.
Well, the weather's so good. I've never wanted to be in an earthquake in good or bad weather. It wasn't one of the major considerations. Say, yeah, well, I'm going to shoot you. Could you wait till a sunny day? I mean, they don't go together, do they? So your life has to be built on a foundation, and this is the problem with the kids we have today. Proverbs said, raise up a child in the way, that's the way of the gospel, in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That means when he's growing old, not when he gets to be an old man. He'll know what's right because it was instilled in him. He'll know what's wrong because it was instilled in him. And Sam was telling me on the telephone yesterday. He said, did you see in the paper? Where was it? New York, Sam? Foreign country. Well, Milwaukee. Further up. Almost to Canada. A kid saw a man walking down the street and hit him with an egg. You know, kids are mischievous. They'll do that. Doesn't make it right, but it's not the world's worst thing to get hit by an egg. Watch it over there. And so they hit the guy with an egg. He got perturbed, a little upset, and chased the kid down, who was 10 or 11 years old, and smacked him. He slapped him, knocked him down. Don't hit me with an egg walking down the street. Now, this is a 10-year-old kid. I'm not mad that he got slapped. Somebody should have slapped him when he's 5. Okay. He goes and gets his group of 10 and 11-year-olds. They get hoe handles, axes, ball bats, seek that man out at 11 o'clock at night, get him in an alley, and beat him to death. Well, the one kid was crazy. No, there was about 15 of them. Where do they learn to do this? Well, the foundation was wrong. The home was wrong. The school didn't correct it. People on the neighborhood didn't correct it as they were coming up. You don't do that. Picked up trash, pick that up. Everybody is in charge of the kids. Teaching them to do right, to listen, to act right. Building that foundation where when they get old and get in your company, they don't take your money out of your cash register thinking it's theirs. And the educated ones don't learn how to juggle the stock where they leave you holding the bag and they leave with $100 million. There's not a whole lot of difference between that CEO and that kid. They both have the same problem. Their foundation was wrong. They didn't know right from wrong and didn't care what was right from wrong. You see, our country is going to hell in a handbag. It's not only kids and people we raise don't know the difference in right and wrong anymore. They don't care what's right and wrong anymore. Now you got yourself a problem. Now you got it. The only solution to that problem won't be the ACLU and the NEA and a new president. The only solution to this problem we're headed and getting right in the middle of, the answer is going to have to come out of the sky, my friend. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and settle it all. Because people didn't have a proper foundation. When they had the McGuffey's Reader, any of y'all studied out there? Anybody old enough to remember the McGuffey's Reader? A little book they used to teach reading out of, learning how to spell. A. A stands for Adam. I mean, every initial, every letter came with a Bible verse. Every letter came with a Bible principle. On the walls were the Ten Commandments. You cuss a teacher at my school, they would dismiss you from that school. The woman is standing in the corner and trying to get the psychiatrist to talk to you. You were gone. You were gone. All right. The way it should be. The way it should be.
I was thinking, Bobby McGinnis and I played a little football together, and we had a wonderful coach. We didn't know how wonderful he was till we got out of school, saw other people play. We didn't set the world on fire. We did pretty much damage to the state, didn't we, Bobby? Well, I watch them on TV now. I saw a guy run a touchdown against Clemson after he ran straight into the linebacker. I think the linebacker's number came off on his jersey. I said, son, why didn't you grab him while he was there? If you're going to tackle, you grab. You hold on. You learn your fundamentals. His belt buckle will go with him wherever he goes unless he disrobes. Hit his belly button. Don't worry about his hips and his head. Put your hands around his body and grab yours and don't let go. Fundamentals. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? I'll be glad to tell you. Whoever kicks, blocks, tackles, passes, and catches most correctly. Fundamentals. Why are kids running wild in the street? Because they didn't learn their fundamentals. They have no foundation. The news media, do you know how they use that word? They use fundamentalist as if it were a curse word. Jerry Falwell and his fundamentalist right wing, then they tried to tie it into the Taliban. The fundamentalist Islamic use it as a curse word. You can't live without being a fundamentalist. You try to bake a cake and use salt just because it looks like sugar, ain't gonna fly along at the table. If you decide 4 and 4 is 9 instead of 8, you're going to be in big trouble with everything you do mathematically. If you've got a pilot who believes if I push this handle one way or the other, it'll go the same direction, don't get on that plane. You can't live without following the fundamentals of whatever it is you're in and whatever it is you're doing. If we ask Bob to build something, he doesn't look at it and say, I think that's about 8'3". He pulls out a ruler. They're the fundamentals. We'll find out how tall it is. We'll find out how wide it is. And we'll build it exactly those specifications. Why? That's the fundamental thing to do. Now, when you come to the Bible, if you're a fundamentalist, if you're a fool, you get mad at us. I'd get mad at us, too, if I were you. We were stupid enough to believe God said what he meant and meant what he said. If that's a fundamentalist, count me in. We're dumb enough to believe that when God said, Moses, hold up your stick, the Red Sea will open. And he did, it did. We believe that. If that's treason, make the most of it. You call God a liar when you stand in front of him in judgment. I'm going to call him a wonder maker when I stand in front of him. If you don't believe the fundamentals of the faith, put your Bible down and never read it again. If you can't get the fundamentals right, none of it will make any sense. The older you get, the more hostile and adamant you get, as you can tell, as I'm getting old. And I'm tired of arguing with the atheists and the agnostics and the other fools of the world. And I have shortened the argument completely down to 4 words. Open your Bible, turn to the first page, and it says, in the beginning, God, and then another word. If you can't handle those 4 words, you don't even bother to read the rest of the book. It gets completely crazy and out of hand. It'll start talking about people raising from the dead, angels flying around doing things, people fed by ravens, lepers getting cleared of leprosy, blind man seeing, crippled man jumping up and running for joy. It's going to talk about people outrunning horses. It's going to talk about boats flying through the air and landing on another island. If you can't handle them 4 first words, please stop reading now. It's going to drive you crazy. All right. If you can handle those 4 words, then all things are possible to him who believes. all things are possible. There's a certain group of people on television, God bless them, change the word of grace. Grace means God's goodness undeserved to man. That's the definition of grace. They've changed it now to God's ability to work through you to get a Mercedes. They've really changed it. Grace means God's ability to work through you. God and ability in the same sentence is an oxymoron, fool. The word ability indicates limitation. Michael Jordan can jump 42 inches off the floor. That's wonderful for that. You can say that he can only jump 42 inches off the floor. And God and ability don't even go together. God is sovereign. The fundamental fact is he is all, can do all, is, was, and ever shall be, and you will find no fault in him. And for you, with your pin head and your bad grades in high school, to attempt to correct the written, inspired word of God only displays your ignorance. There's an old saying that goes, it is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And if you are going to speak against the fundamentals of the faith, you have just removed all doubt. We don't need to talk to you any further. So that's rather arrogant. Yes, it is. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells you how to build that house. Study to show thyself approved unto God. This isn't turning a term paper into Miss Johnson. This isn't getting your homework together for Professor Jones at the junior college. This isn't getting a doctoral dissertation ready for Princeton or Harvard or Yale, which is intimidating enough. But this is to study to show thyself approved unto God. He said, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that's within you. This is why Christians don't witness much. They're intimidated that somebody's going to ask them a question they can't answer, something that will weaken or destroy their faith. So they avoid what God told them to do, and the only reason he left them on earth after they were converted, and don't do it. Payday someday. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, once you learn your fundamentals, and this is where Bible class comes in. We teach here. I'm a teaching preacher. I'm an expository preacher. I read the scripture and then expound on it, expose what it says. If you want 3 points in a poem, go to the library. We're trying to help you. And if you learn that, and then you will come to Bible class. I'm not the best Bible teacher in the world. However, I'm better than the one you've got because you don't go anywhere. You need to be there and find out what this book says so we can have 800 next year. Not that the numbers count. It's that some of your friends that we see and I see and you see will be dead next year and gone to hell if we don't do something about it. So get in Bible school. I'm 65 years old. I tell people I don't look 65, and Ann certainly doesn't look 62. And she says, I'm not 62. You quit telling. Oh, man. Child bride. I don't know how I got up with it. And the other day, sat down, I said, look here at this information. Sign me up for that course. 65. Back in school.
Why?
I'm trying to show myself approved. I don't want somebody to come along with a question that I'm doubtful about, cast aspersions on my Savior, to say something that he said that he didn't say, or to describe him as something that he isn't, or to hurt him any worse than I hurt him by sinning. Don't you talk about him. He died for me. And it's up to me to learn and study so I can defend him, not that he needs me. Verse 6 says, if you do that, you will not be confounded. That doesn't mean mixed up. That means you won't be put to shame. It means if you will trust in the foundation stones of the Word of God, that you will be never disappointed by trusting in Jesus. Never disappointed by trusting in Jesus. And you never will be. Went to a service one time, and good old pastor was preaching. Good Bible-believing man. Man of God, been preaching years. And he got to the end of the service and he said, let me show you something. Before we give the invitation, anybody that has known the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior and walked with him for 50 years or more, come to the front, please. Several of them tottered down. Said, 40. Big crowd. He said, now tell these people, you've been walking with the Lord 40 and 50 years and longer. How many of you are disappointed? Nobody. Had he turned to the crowd and said, you have not, some of you, been walking with the Lord. Ever. Life's not exactly going as you had written it out in the high school annual. How many of you are disappointed? Boy, the hands have gone up. People won't raise their hands for that kind of thing. This means that if you don't know the fundamentals of the faith, Christ is not your Savior, and you're trying to hold on to some religion, as they are called, you're going to be very disappointed. Feel sorry for the zealousness of the Muslims. I mean, no kidding. You see them on TV. They're on the flying carpet. They're bowing down, facing Mecca 5 times a day when we're here to go, doing their prayers. Here's the others doing this, doing that. Other religions of the world doing this, doing that. Very sincere. Buddhists sitting on a mountainside trying to contemplate the sound of one hand clapping. Get me to him. I'll show you the sound of one hand clapping. Knock him off the mountain and see if we can get some sense in him. How disappointed to spend your life studying, meditating on the wrong thing. Worshiping a God that doesn't exist. Following rules that he did not give in hopes that he will accept you into a heaven. How sad. What a disappointing day it's going to be. And the cries that are going to go out. Well, I gave to the poor and I thought I acted right, and no, I'm sorry, that wasn't the rule. No ticket, no ride. There's one way, his way. But what of the people who didn't hear? What's going to happen to them? God will take care of them. He will be fair. He will be just. I'm not as concerned about the heathen in Africa as I am by the one on the back row here. He hasn't heard and didn't get an opportunity to choose. God will take care of that. You heard and had an opportunity to choose, and the question will come up again, and you better have the right answer. Don't want to be disappointed when you face God. Find out what he said to do and do it. Get the foundation stone built. He told you again in a parable you've heard 1,000 times. It's in Matthew. It's in Luke.
Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. That rock is the stone cut without hands that Daniel spoke of. His name is Jesus. And when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Isn't it strange a man will take great pains to build a house on the beach? Bobby's got one in... called us over when he was building it and said, boy, you got to see them lay this foundation, Beaver. They put 35 telephone poles in the ground and told me how deep they were going. And I could hear that thing thump still, beating them in the sun. Foom, foom, that big machine hammering them down with that pressure. And it had to be done or it was going to fall. It's built on sand. He knew that going in, so he built it on a firm foundation, which is a good hymn of the church, by the way. How firm a foundation is Jesus my Lord. And this is just illustrating that your house that you build, your life that you build, if you build it on a good foundation, when the trials of life and the storms of life and the heaviness of life and all is turned against you, you'll still stand. But if you have no foundation, when the temptation comes, you're gone. It won't take much. When the storms come, you'll quit. Won't take much. You say, well, I tried to be good, won't work. That number five will get you. That hurricane comes in, it'll eat you alive. But you see, the foundation you build, when you build it on Jesus, allows you to be in Jesus and Him in you. Now, it's us standing there, not me standing there. And if the temptation gets too much, I just like to turn a little bit this way and say, you don't mind handling this one, do you? War gets a little hard. I say, look, I'm going to take a breather. You don't mind, do you? And I can stand. He said, be careful now. Pride goeth before a fall. I know that too. I didn't say it was me. I said it was him. If the foundation is in him, he will not fall. He will stand strong. He can weather the storm. He can take care of you. As we learn to sing when we're this high, if our foundation was right, don't worry, God will take care of you. You don't have to go forward far in theology to get it all. Go backward a little way. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. What else did you need to know? That's enough. The foundation. Do right because it's right, as old Dr. Bob used to say, number one from Alabama. Old Dr. Bob, he said, do right just because it is right. You won't do that if the foundation isn't right. You can't. And now we're bringing them up and actually teaching in your classrooms out here, there's no such thing as right and wrong. It's a matter of opinion. Excuse me? Now, with a foundation like that, what kind of country are you going to build? I tell you what kind of crops you're going to have if they keep teaching this in Aner. Well, corn will grow whether you plant it or not, I guess. No, I don't think so. Well, the job will get run down there whether I go or not. No. No, you got to go. Well, it'll all take care of itself. No. You are itself. It's inanimate. The right thing to do is do the right thing. How hard can it be? That should be settled when you start dating a young lady. Somebody the other day said, I'm going to leave my wife with you. Is that all right? I said, she couldn't be safer. She couldn't be safer. Leave overnight if you want to. She couldn't be safer. Why? Because right's right and wrong is wrong. Ann will get mad if I do wrong. He'll kill you. Do you believe that? I know that. You want your life disrupted beyond repair? Start going directly against this on purpose when you know better.
Amen.
Just turn it around. He'll eat you alive. You say, well, that's a mean God. It wasn't the welcome wagon that called on them 185,000 Syrians he killed in one night. The Bible plainly says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. We willing to accept the goodness. Yeah, all right. They took a survey the other day. Said 75% of the people in America believe they're going to heaven. 32% believe the Bible is the word of God. I got bad news for 40% of them people. Wrong foundation. The good news is it's never too late to rebuild the foundation. God starts over every morning and gives you another opportunity. Build your foundation, get it right, and build a new spiritual building. That's what you need to do. Build it right. How do I start? You had a good start this morning. You came to church. Nobody made you come. You're looking for something. We don't feed you free. We don't pass out money. Evidently, you thought something was down here that might be worthwhile for you to be in on. You made a good choice. You made a good start. Now what do I do? Come back every Sunday. Get in Bible study out here. We'll give you some addresses where you can have a study course at home on your computer. You see, this isn't buy a ticket to ride and get a seat and wait on God. Accepting the Lord as your Savior gets you in the door. Then it's time to go to work. And the reason our country is in the shape it's in right now is not because of the evildoers. They were going to do what they were going to do anyway. It is because the Christians got saved, got seated, and thought that was the end of it. That's why we're in the trouble we're in. And if we don't change that, we're going to go the way of England and the way of other third world countries. And the greatest, most God-blessed country that ever existed is going to end up in shambles because of its foundation. You can change it at your house. I'm going to keep it at mine. And when I see him, I'll be able to thank him and say, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And he's going to say, welcome home. And I get to smile forever. Hope you're there. Foundational truth of salvation is Jesus Christ manifested himself in the flesh, came as a baby, lived a perfect life, and then died on a cross. Willingly, freely, and he did it to shed his blood, which was God's blood, to pay the price of sin that no man could pay. Christ came and paid a debt he did not owe. So you could be free of a debt you could not pay. Rose again from the dead. And his coming again will set up a kingdom. And those who trust him can live forever. If you don't believe that, you simply won't be there. If you do, you're on solid rock.
His name is Jesus. Came to seek and to save the lost, which is the only reason we exist. Thank you for helping us. If there's one here doesn't know him as Savior, this morning's a good time where you sit. We don't have people come to the front. For those who do that, that's fine. If they want to do it that way, it's not a point of argument. But wherever you sit, you say, well, I'm not on solid rock. I'm not on a foundation, and the winds of the world are tearing me to pieces. If I died today, I don't know what would happen to me. You on sand, sinking sand. But if you say, look, I need a Savior. I can't pay for my sins. I've certainly done them. I don't know what to do. I'm getting up on in age, and if I die, I want to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus, the presence of God. What do I have to do? Humbly, just as we sing, you pray. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need to find out more about the way, but I won't end today. Let me in the door. Let me get a ticket to ride. And then let me come and learn more and learn more and learn more. For there's someone in my family. There's some friend of mine. There's someone I associate with that I have great influence on. And if I accept you, it won't be long before they will. What a wonderful thing to know. So if you don't know him today, you get yourself introduced with a simple prayer as we pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come and preach the gospel, unadulterated, believe in the literal scriptures, believe they were inspired, meaning pas graphe theonostos, it was breathed of God. I believe that. I believe every word in it. If there's something I believe, Lord Jesus, and shouldn't, if you don't show me that as a study, just tell me when I see you. That'll be fine. I just want to make sure I see you. If something's too hard for my mind to understand, and a lot of things are, Lord, let me be smart enough to be dumb enough to know you're right and I'm wrong, and if I'll just wait long enough, I'll see the light. Only a fool would call you a liar. Only a fool would say you made an error. Only a fool would think he had a better idea than you do. And I shall not be that fool. Lord, be with those among us who some are out of work. Please find them work. Some are in situations in their marriage that needs changing. There's about a divorce to take place or whatever. And Lord, let them back up and calm down and say, hey, look, it's not what I want. And it's not what you want. It's what God wants. I think we should do that. Situations come up, Lord, and you know what they are that no man can solve. Only you can. Please do that. Touch these people. Please be with H. Lee and cure whatever it is that's ailing him, Lord, and got him feeling bad. He's so kind to let us be here, he and his wife, the whole church here, to reach people here who may not hear the gospel readily and plainly anywhere else. But you sent them here as you sent me. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for so firm a foundation. In Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen.